Healing the heart in the heart of the world, the Beis HaMikdash, part 3, halachas of the Beis HaMikdash, and how we can be healed in these 9 days. This is Saratova Beth. Okay, so let's do a little play on words. We're going to speak about sacrifices. Because we know in life, they're karbanas in Hebrew, but sacrifices in English, you know what sacrifices mean. And we need a lot of healing from that whole dimension of making sacrifices for people and for ourselves. And, you know, and there are many generations brought up on the idea of life is about making sacrifices. So we understand it's a play on words because karbanas are not, you know, it's a poor definition in English to call karbanas sacrifices. But by divine providence, it is what it is. So here's the question. What's it all about? So as we walk from the women's section, the Ezras Nashim, in the Beis HaMikdash, when we walk into the first gate of the Beis HaMikdash, there's the Ezras Nashim, the women's section. And then there are 15 steps called the Shir HaMaalot steps, which when people are going to go into the Azara to bring the sacrifices, the Karbanas, those are the steps. I don't know that people walk up those steps. Really, those steps are steps that the Levim stand on. They play instruments and they sing songs. So it looks like while the karbanas, the sacrifices, are happening in the Azara is the place where we ask for help. Ezra, help me, help me, help me. We go to the Azara to bring karbanas, sacrifices, and ask Hashem for help. Now, when we think of making sacrifices, again, it's a bit of a play on words and it's a little tongue-in-cheek. Excuse me. But when we think of making sacrifices, how would you feel if, you know, I'm making such sacrifices for you. Oh, my goodness. And somebody's standing there playing trumpets and singing songs. It's like, go away, ew. Right? It seems very strange. You're going to play music and sing songs while I'm making sacrifices? Are you making fun of me? So why would Hashem do this? And the playing of the music on these Shir HaMaalot steps, etc., on these standing on the steps and playing this music and singing is an integral part of this entire process of the karbanas. Of course, we're all very wise and we know that karbanas really is from the word karev, to be close, so it gets us close to Hashem. So why in the world do they call it sacrifices in English? Are we getting close or are we making sacrifices? And if we could get it straight, if we could figure out the secret of this oxymoron, we might be able to get a lot of healing out of it. So I'm just going to say that I don't have the secret, but I have a piece of the secret. I'm not going to tell you the secret, because honestly, if I would tell you the secret of sacrifices, no one would listen to my next year. They would just be angry at me. You know, so I wouldn't dare even if I knew it. But I know that there's a secret there. I know that, it's a sort of a not nice joke, but the joke about the Jewish mother who's always making sacrifices. No, it's fine. It's fine. I don't need to eat a sandwich. I didn't eat in 3 days, but you eat it, my love. That, you know, there's some reason why we're seen as that. But all we know is, and it's really not that. And somebody once said that in the non-Jewish world, what people call a doormat, they say, oh, my mother or my grandmother, she was known as the doormat in our family. And the mother or the grandmother heard that and said, I thought it was being a Yiddish mama. I thought it was being an Akeres Abayis. Why is the world calling me a doormat? The non-Jewish world is calling me a doormat. The Jewish world is calling me a Yiddish mama. And all the songs, my Yiddish mama, and I'll never forget her and all of that. Which one is it? So we realize that there's an entirely different universe. I'm not going to even say world. There's an entirely different universe. The Jewish universe is entirely different. The frequency of the Jewish universe, emotional universe, the healthy one, is entirely different from the non-Jewish emotional universe. Exemplified by this. This Bubba was called the doormat by all the children and the grandchildren. But from a Jewish perspective, she was the most beautiful Yiddish mama that nurtured generations. So where do we get stuck with the sacrifices thing? It doesn't mean, you know, always make sacrifices, never think about yourself, whatever self is. It means that there's a giant secret in there. And if we could look at it with curiosity, we could have a lot of healing. There's a giant secret about the Yiddish giving, the Yiddish nurturing and nourishing of other people's hearts and neshamas. That nurturing that the Yiddish mama does and that the Jewish woman does, there is incredible malchus there. That is what one of the things that elevates her, exemplifies, expresses the fact that she's a queen. She's even a queen even if she's not doing that stuff. But when do we get confused? When does the struggle really begin? When we translate beautiful Adela concepts into English. Karbanas are something. Now we're switching to picturing the Beis HaMikdash. Picture if you could have, you know, a drone aerial view of the Avaida in the Beis HaMikdash. Today you can do that. And in the future, that's probably what's going to be. You know, they'll have drone views of the Avaida in the Beis HaMikdash. And you'll see a very beautiful process, a very beautiful relationship happening between the Yid and Hashem. He's bringing a carbon. Yidden say he's bringing a carbon. He's entering an incredibly beautiful relationship with Hashem. And the non-Jewish world says he's bringing a sacrifice. He's bringing a sacrifice. He's sacrificing himself, or he's sacrificing the animal. These are two entirely different universes. Which one do you think is true? Is Tyra true? Or is the world true? There's a statement in Tyra that says there are two choices of how we can look at the world. Island bepshitas Tyra bischachos. I'll translate in a second. Meaning, is reality what the world says? And Tyra is, you know, a nice thing that you learn and, you know, it's nice. Gives you nice lessons in life. It's sweet. Is that what it is? It's not really practical. It's not so realistic. And it's not necessarily reality. But is that true? Or is it Tyra bepshitas Island bischachos? The real truth is what Tyra says. Even if your eyes are not synced up with it. And what you see in the world and hear from the world, it's not necessarily true. It's from what's called Alma de Shikra, the world of lies. So we come to a point in history, and the Lubavitch Rebbe said, in, I think, I remember, 1990, he said, we've come to the point where we have to switch. If we've been stuck in the old paradigm of thinking, well, reality is what you hear from the world, time to switch. Not true, it never was true, but it becomes less and less true as we go into Mashiach times. The only truth is what Tyrus says. What if my eyes don't see it? What if I grew up in that non-Jewish indoctrination of the way they see life? What their experts say and their therapists say and, you know, their geniuses say and their professionals say. What if I grew up with that? I was surrounded by it. It's on the media everywhere. Does that make it true? No. Never was the truth. Only what Tyra says is the truth. So when we look at the issue of the karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara where we're asking for help and getting help, Ezra, getting help. And even Ezra's Nashim, the women's section, where there's a feminine help from a feminine way. When we're in the Azara bringing karbanos, why are the Levium singing songs and playing instruments? Partly because they're telling us, you're not doing sacrifices. That's for the nations of the world. They think you're bringing sacrifices. That's as much as they can understand. You're bringing karbanos. You're entering into an incredible intimacy with Hashem, an incredibly beautiful, deep relationship with Hashem through this act, through this mitzvah. And we are, and the Levium are honoring that, are celebrating it, are validating it with song and with song, singing and instruments. That is its truth. It's a wedding. It's a chasana. Every carbon is a chasana. Of course they're playing music. A chasana, a wedding with Hashem. A union with Hashem. Of course they're singing. And if your therapist says you're making sacrifices, right? If the non-Jewish world says, those aren't karbanas, they're sacrifices, and you're a doormat, God forbid, I'm just going to leave you with this thought. The Avaida in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, is a very, very profound, deep Avaida. We haven't even yet scratched the surface of being able to understand what it really is. And in Mashiach times, we will be able to unravel its secrets. So for this moment, let's just know that there's a very beautiful secret embedded in that Avaida. And the only visibility at this point of the beauty of the secret of that relationship is the singing of the Levium. And if we, instead of being judgmental from the junk we got from the non-Jewish world, the mindset, sacrifices, if we can move into a mode of curiosity, wow, I'm not a doormat. I'm a nurturer. I'm a builder of generations. I'm a builder of a lineage, whether it's my own children or my students or those whom I speak to, those whom I influence, I am a builder of generations. I'm not a sacrificer. I'm someone who's building generations, nurturing generations, nurturing eternity. And that's a cause for song. And when you will see the aerial view of the Beis HaMikdash in Mashiach times through the drone, looking down and watching this secret relationship happening, and watching the music happening, we'll understand. And we'll be healed. And at this moment, in these 9 days, we can be healed from it right now, knowing that the truth is there. It's an incredible secret. And we can embrace it right now and be healed in a most profound way. May we find ourselves in that Beis HaMikdash being healed
and take the healing at this very second now.